Hey, what's up? It's Dr. Ward. Welcome to this episode of Into the Fix. Past 3 weeks, we've been talking about setting goals. Today, we're going to be talking about what to do when you miss the mark. Change is hard. Usually when we're changing, we're giving up a behavior either we like or we're really used to doing. So change isn't something that comes easy to a lot of people. Sooner or later, there's going to be a day or two or 10 when I don't reach my goals. The question for me is, what do we do then? Do I give up or do I regroup? So today we're going to talk about what to do when you miss the mark generally, and then we're going to talk about how to look at a specific incident and figure out what I did in that specific case to miss the mark. So what should I do when I miss the mark? And here are a few things I think we should think about. Number one, remember why we're doing what we're doing. Think back to those big goals we've been talking about. What were they? To be healthy? To be a better spouse? What was the reason you were trying to even make changes? Thinking back to the past couple weeks, we've talked a lot about the big picture, and here's why. If I can remember what I'm working towards, I'm better able to absorb the little setbacks that occur along the way. If my big goal is to be financially independent, a month of unexpected expenses or one impulse buy doesn't change that goal. It might delay it a bit, but it doesn't change it. The next thing I think is important is that we value progress over perfection. We live in a very black and white, all or nothing type of society. People don't say, oh, I'd like to be moderately successful. They say, I want to be rich as hell. The problem with this is it's always a goal line approach, meaning I've only succeeded when I've actually reached my goal. I've only succeeded when I've actually gotten across the finish line. But I don't think this is always helpful, right? Let me give you an example. Suppose you're reading a story about a kid who grew up in poverty and he was able to work hard and moves himself and his family from a poor neighborhood he grew up in to a nice suburb where his kids attend grade schools and they were in a place to make a better life for themselves. Are we going to look at him and say, yeah, it's cool you're not on public assistance, but until I see a Lamborghini, I'm unimpressed, my friend? I hope not. I hope we don't do that. I hope we're able to say, I'm really impressed by how far you've come. I look forward to seeing what you can do in the future. That's what I hope we would say to him. That's what I hope we would say to ourselves. The next thing is to tell yourself what you would tell somebody else. I sit in my office and listen to clients talk about their problems every day. One thing has become abundantly clear to me is that people are way harder on themselves than they would ever be on somebody else. That they say things to themselves that they would never say to somebody else. I mean, think about it. Imagine you had a friend come up to you and say, you know, I'm really upset with myself. I made a resolution to try and be a better mom, and I made my plans to do this by being less reactive and yelling at my kids less. And I was doing great. For 3 weeks, not a single outburst. Even though these kids are brats, I still didn't respond to them. And then I come home, my son was eating something I had made for a work party, and I lost it. What would you say to your friend? Would you say, yeah, you know what? You're a total piece of crap. I don't know why you ever had kids, and I definitely don't know why you're trying to make changes because you're terrible. Of course not. Of course we would never say that to somebody else. We're going to say something along the lines of, man, that's tough, but you can't beat yourself up too much. Or, man, you made it 3 weeks. You can't give up now. Point is, we are way harder on ourselves than we ever are to other people. Because we accept that nobody else is perfect until it applies to us, right? I think the final thing to remember is that we need to redefine how we think of failure. For me, trying and coming up short isn't failure. Setting a goal and not quite getting there isn't failure. Failure for me is when I stop trying to change. When I decide that I can't do it and I just give up, to me, that is failure. Everything up to that is just setbacks. It's expected. My younger son is a bit of a perfectionist. He wants to be good at everything, and he's pretty hard on himself when he doesn't get something right. One thing that I say to him all the time is, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And if everyone did it, there wouldn't be anything special about doing it. Look, if it was as easy to get into Harvard as it was to get into your local community college, there'd be a lot more people in Harvard. But it would also make getting into Harvard a lot less important, a lot less valuable. Right? So let's redefine how we think about failure. And so what's the takeaway? How do we actually take this sort of mindset and look at a specific situation and try to figure out what I did wrong or how I could do something differently? And for me, there are three steps. Number one, identify what happened. How did I not meet my goal? For instance, I made it my goal to eat healthy, but I went out with some friends and ordered a double cheeseburger and a milkshake. So what happened? I had a goal to have a certain diet. I went out and I ate something other than what was on my diet. But this is important. It's important for two reasons. One, it's important to sort of outline exactly what happened so we can see it for what it is. It wasn't the end of the world. I didn't kill my firstborn kid. I set a goal to eat healthy and I didn't measure up. Nothing more, nothing less, right? So we don't need to get too crazy. The next thing is, not everything we do in life is a setback, right? Not every mistake we make is a setback, right? If I go to the casino and I spend $500, the next morning I might not be feeling too great about it. But unless my goals are related to finances, it isn't really relevant. And so I don't want to go, oh, I spent $500 at the casino. I'm never going to make it on my diet. The two things are completely unrelated. So part of identifying what happened is to make sure that what happened is related to my goal. The next thing is understand why it happened. Why did I go off my diet? And for this part, I suggest brainstorming. List anything you can think of. I went off my diet because I had been doing well and I deserved it. I went off my diet because it would have been awkward explaining to everybody why I was going to eat a salad at wing night. I went off my diet because I just wanted a hamburger. And then we go back through our list and see which one or two explanations seem most likely to us. But be honest, be brutally honest. You know yourself. Why did you really do it? You might say, you know what, I never wanted to be on this damn diet to begin with, but my spouse kept talking me into it as part of their resolution. And the last step is to begin challenging the why. Step number one, we identified what happened. Step number two, we identified why it happened. Step number three is to start challenging that why. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say make a plan for how I'm not going to eat a hamburger the next time. We can do that later. What happened is a symptom of the why. So let's challenge the why. If I said I did this because I felt like I had been doing well and I deserved it, then the challenge is something like, look, just because I'm doing well doesn't give me a reason to break my diet. Or if my why is I never wanted to be on this diet to begin with, the challenge could be something like, look, I don't have to be on this diet, even if my spouse is. What's the point? The point is, setbacks are part of life. The question is whether we allow them to be a start of the sentence or the end of the sentence. Does the sentence say I had a setback and then I regrouped and got back on it? Or does the sentence say I was doing well until I slipped and never really recovered from that setback? We want the first one. We want our setbacks to be nothing more than a speed bump on the road to life. Hit it and keep moving. It's not a big deal. Nothing that needs to send us off track. Next month's February, and so we're going to be focused on relationships. And I'm going to be talking about little things you can do to make changes in your relationship. So that's it for me. That's it for this episode. Be sure to check out my Facebook. Be sure to check out my Instagram. This is Dr. Ward. I'll talk to you again next time.